Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
Our special guest this week is Dr. Emma Garrison Alexander, the Transportation Security Administration's Chief Information Officer. Emma, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation and for the opportunity to come on Federal News Radio to talk about my role here at TSA as the CIO.
Now, you've been CIO at TSA for just about a year now. I did a little bit of research and looked back. Okay, when was she named? When did she take over the position? Give us some idea of how's it going so far. A year into your job, it's always the toughest thing is the first year.
I actually started toward the end of May, right after Memorial Day of last year. So I'm in the 11th month with a number of weeks behind me so far. I can say this past year has been really tremendous. It's really been a great experience. I've learned a great deal. I've had the opportunity to contribute to a very worthy mission. And it turns out that my decision to come to TSA has proven to be a very good decision. And I'm pleased that I'm here, and things are going quite well.
Well, that's always nice to hear. You always don't want someone to make a decision and go, oh, my God, what am I doing? That's always the toughest thing. Now, you came over from the National Security Agency, and when I looked at your background, I was fascinated by some of the things you did. Talk about the biggest change coming from NSA to TSA. What's been the most surprising about working at TSA so far?
Well, both organizations are focused on national security, so they both have very, very important missions in supporting the U.S. government and the citizens that we actually serve in this particular country. However, each of the organizations operate very differently. NSA operates in a very closed environment, and for good reason. The type of work they're doing, the kinds of things that they're involved in, are not those things that should be fully exposed to the public. However, TSA is on the other extreme. It's a very, very open organization with extensive interaction with the public and with the media and a number of organizations. TSA's mission to protect the nation's transportation systems, ensuring the freedom of movement for people and commerce, really necessitate that the organization be open. It took me some time to become comfortable with this particular culture. That's probably one of the big challenges, is being in the open, even having this interview with you. Is very different. I think, though, after 11-plus months, I think that I've adjusted, and I understand why it's such an open environment, and I understand what necessitates that.
I was going to say that if dealing with the media, the NSA, we have a couple of the go-to people we deal with quite often, but most of the time it's a very small number. While TSA, I mean, your administrator blog, you're dealing with the airlines and the latest attempted terrorist attack that puts you guys right in front and center all the time. So how much of a change was it? I mean, was it hard just to say, okay, I need to be out there in front of things? Or is it just, again, dealing with the different people? You said it was a bit of a cultural shock for you.
I think the agency at large, being in the public eye, being under continuous scrutiny from a number of different places, I think that was the big shock. Because I think when you're outside, you have the impression that you have a good understanding of what's happening in a particular organization. And you do have some view. However, your view is very limited. I think coming in and being on the inside and having the full picture gave me a greater appreciation for just how public TSA is as an organization. It has been an adjustment, because not only from a mission perspective has been an adjustment, just the interest in my position as the CIO, that has been an adjustment as well. The fact that I actually can go out and talk more freely about the work that I'm doing in the public domain. And so that in and of itself was an adjustment as well.
It's one of the things, I think there's a number of CIOs who are always out there kind of talking, and then there's a handful who kind of stay in the background. And TSA happens to be one of those organizations where I think a lot of people want to hear what you're doing, what you're working on. And I think that must have been kind of, at least in the initial few months, kind of odd. Like, why do they want to talk to me? I got to work on whatever I'm working on over here. And so I could see that. Talk a little bit about your role as the CIO and how you support TSA's mission from both an internal and an external perspective.
I have two titles here. One is as Chief Information Officer. The other is the Assistant Administrator for Information Technology. And so those are my two roles here at TSA that both blends together. First of all, based on my professional experience, I'm very much mission-focused. I often say to my leadership team that I'm not in the information technology business. I'm in the transportation security business. And we are using as an organization IT to enable the TSA mission. So that's really the position that I come from and the perspective that I have when it comes to using IT to support TSA. I have the normal CIO responsibilities, you know, providing IT systems and services to support the TSA mission. This includes, you know, network infrastructure, application development, cyber and computer security, you know, information security, protecting our data, providing communication systems to the workforce. And I'm also responsible to ensure that all the IT systems conform to established enterprise architecture standards. Those standards have been set by the department, DHS. And in my role, I report directly to the TSA administrator, and I'm accountable to her for ensuring that our IT systems are up and working, that we're providing the services that are required for the TSA mission, and I serve as an advisor with regards to IT matters. And then I also have capital planning and investment control responsibility. Now, while all of the IT investments are not under direct control of the CIO, I have oversight responsibility for all TSA IT investments.
So when you say you have direct oversight but not necessarily control, differentiate that, because I think that sometimes can confuse people when they're listening and trying to understand how things work. You're responsible, but you're not in control. So you have responsibility but no authority on some cases, or explain a little bit.
I think there's always a certain level of responsibility because the CIO role, as you know, is designated by law. It's in statute what the CIO responsibilities are within an agency and the fact that each agency is to have a CIO. I have a base budget, and I have core IT activities that I'm responsible for. I listed some of there when you start talking about infrastructure application development. But we also have lines of businesses, and those lines of businesses have certain IT needs as well. And in some cases, they're provided by that particular organization. But in providing those IT services directly through that particular organization, there are processes in place that says that you have to get certain approvals from the CIO's office. You have to make sure you go through what we call the IT buy process. We have to make sure that any system that's being developed meets the enterprise architecture requirements that come from DHS. And we have to ensure that those investments are being used wisely. So there's oversight, and there's also some accountability as well. And so we work hand-in-hand with the lines of business to ensure that those IT investments are being used appropriately and that the services and the capabilities that need to be delivered to those offices are actually being delivered.
I think that's one of the biggest challenges when you're acting as an enabler for the lines of business, yet you still have some of that oversight and accountability issues. I think a lot of CIOs face a similar situation, and I don't want to say they struggle, but it's definitely one of the biggest challenges that I hear quite often. One of the things you brought up was a lot of the operational types of work that you're doing, you know, the network infrastructure, application development, cybersecurity, communication systems. Would you consider yourself more of an operations CIO or more of a strategic CIO, or how would you split it up, you know, 60-40, 50-50?
I believe it's both, and I believe the two go hand in hand. So I don't believe that it's either or. I believe as a CIO you have to have a strategic view, or you will be what you do will be dictated by the day-to-day. So you need to be able to have that strategic view, but you also need to understand the operational imperative of the organization. And so you need to move at a speed and at a pace that can support mission operations. So those two things actually work together. I don't believe they're in conflict with each other.
Oh, no, and I totally agree. I think most CIOs that I talk to also face that, have that kind of foot in both doors. Where do you see yourself spending more of your time?
Well, my background is engineering, so I'm a techie by profession. And there's a part of me that would love to stay in the operational and the tactical. For the short term, that works fine, but it does not give an organization what they need from a technology capability standpoint if that's where you stay. You really need the strategic to be able to see beyond the next 3 months, 6 months, or even the next year. So I have found myself spending a great deal of time in the operational and also in the tactical areas, but I've started to transition to look at things that are much more strategic, because I know for the long term that is an imperative.
All right, you gave me the perfect segue to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about those strategic and tactical imperatives. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Dr. Emma Garrison-Alexander, the Transportation Security Administration's Chief Information Officer.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Dr. Emma Garrison-Alexander, the TSA Chief Information Officer. Now, Emma, before break, we talked a lot about your role, your adjustment coming from NSA to TSA. Let's look out to the future. You probably have a whole set of priorities. Talk about some of them over the next 6 or 9 months.
Well, there are a number of priorities that I have, and that list can get pretty long at any given point in time. So what I'd like to do is highlight some of the key areas, particularly that are being looked at over the next 6 to 9 months. One is data center migration. We have a mandate from OMB, and I particularly from Department of Homeland Security, being compliant with the requirements we have coming out of OMB to migrate our data centers to one of two or both of the DHS data centers. One of the data centers that DHS manages is in Clarksville, Virginia. That's referred to often as Data Center 2. The other one is in Stennis, Mississippi, which is referred to as Data Center 1. And so I have a plan this year to move the TSA headquarters data center down to Clarksville, Virginia. That's a high priority for me. We've already moved our data center, the TSA data center that was located in St. Louis, Missouri. We finished that migration early last year around the April time frame. It was very successful with no outages or impact the TSA mission. And I'm looking to do the same thing this year, is to move the data center here at headquarters. And I think that would be a great, a big accomplishment for us and would really help to support the TSA mission. The other area that I'm focused on is cybersecurity. And as you said earlier, that's a big concern across government. And I'm trying to ensure the TSA has the most effective technology deployed to protect its network. We use a defense-in-depth strategy. You know, as you know, with networks, just one type of defensive mechanism is not enough. You need a variety of mechanisms to be put in place to ensure that networks are being protected. So that's another area of focus for me this coming year. The third item that I would focus on is really getting the Information Technology Infrastructure Program contract awarded and get transitioned into that particular contracting vehicle out of our existing IT managed services contract. So I am looking forward to finalizing that particular contract award. And then the other area that has priority is meeting the mobile computing needs of the TSA mobile workforce. TSA has a very mobile workforce with our transportation security officers in the airport. We have inspectors in airports here in the U.S. and abroad. We have other personnel that are very mobile, and we need the right computing capabilities to meet those mobile needs. And then in addition, I'm a part of the DHS CIO Council. All of the DHS CIOs serve on that council, chaired by the DHS CIO. And we collectively laid out 36 priorities for this year. Some of those priorities are large. Some of those priorities are small. And I'm fully supporting all of those initiatives as well. So those are my focus areas for the next 6 to 9 months, probably even further out than that.
All right, you got a big plate, so let me start without the data center, because I think that's a huge focus around government, and I think there's a lot of people interested. Now, you moved one set of data centers to St. Louis. You're moving another one to Virginia. Talk a little bit about the move. What were some of the challenges you faced, and how did you overcome them? Give us some details about, are you using virtualization, or is there cloud computing in your future? Give us some perspective.
I was not here when we moved data center from St. Louis to Clarksville, Virginia. And so I was not a part of that. That finished up in April. I came on board about a month later. But as you know, with any data center move, that's a monumental effort, and it requires a great deal of planning. I believe planning is really key, having the right plan, having a schedule that you can execute, having the funding in place that you need, having an acquisition process that can support the work that you're going to be doing, and then having the right contractors or vendors involved to help you make that move and to help you be successful. We have a very aggressive timeline because we'd like to have our data center moved by December 31st of this year. And so our planning is very robust. We're giving it the level of priority that's needed. We're partnering very closely with the DHS, Office of the CIO, in order for us to be successful because we have a number of dependencies there. And so I think the planning part of this is extremely important, and the partnering and the collaboration parts are what's really important to get this done. Because it's not, this is not an effort that we can be successful in just with TSA alone. We need a number of partners in order to pull this off and be successful. And that was required for the move from St. Louis to Clarksville as well.
So it sounds like you're still maybe in a, not the early stages, but in a age where you're still kind of finalizing that plan. Do we see a contract coming, or is there already, do you already have contractors on staff who are going to be able to help with this?
Probably a mix. Right now there are contracting vehicles at DHS that we'll be taking advantage of. We have internal contracting vehicles that we'll be taking advantage of as well. And then in terms of some of the things we're looking to do, in addition to moving to the data center, we are looking at modernizing our infrastructure as well. And so that is the area where we will be soliciting additional contractual help, is to be able to do some of the modernization efforts as a part of this bigger data center migration effort.
But just then, just to be clear, they're both related. It's not like modernizing infrastructure separate from data center. They're obviously related.
We're doing them simultaneously. So it's an integrated process.
Okay. And obviously, I think that probably makes sense because data centers play such a huge role in the rest of your infrastructure. That's where all your data is, all your storage, and all your processing probably as well.
Yes, that is correct. The majority of it.
Is there any look at virtualization or anything like that yet, or is that still to be decided?
That is the place where I was saying that getting additional contractor help outside of our normal group, that's where that would actually fall. So virtualization is a key part of this. We are looking to reduce our physical footprint. We're looking to reduce our O&M cost. We're looking to have an optimized network environment, and virtualization is key to us being able to pull that off.
All right, very cool. I think there'll be a lot of people interested in whatever comes from you guys in terms of whether it's a task order for Eagle or First Source or whether it's a RFP out there or however you make it happen. I want to jump also over to, you mentioned mobile computing. I think that's a big issue. I was at a conference recently and they talked about if you're not mobile in 2 years, you're dead. And I thought that, whoa, that was a great line for a reporter, but obviously it's a little hyperbole. But talk a little bit about where your vision is around mobile computing. As you said, you have a very mobile workforce. You want to give them capabilities. We're talking about tablets, PDAs. What do you hope to accomplish?
All of the above. PDAs, tablets. One of the challenges around mobile computing is having the right security controls in place to be able to do mobile computing securely, be able to protect the data in that particular environment. But we're looking at capability that's light, easy to carry around with you, easy to use, available, cost-effective. Those are the parameters that I'm really putting around mobile computing. So we're really surveying the marketplace to see what capabilities are out there and how those capabilities can meet the needs of our workforce.
Any plans around doing something what the Army did, where they have an apps for the Army, where they have people in the Army developing applications to be used more widely across the service? Anything like that, apps for TSA?
Yes, and I am familiar with the work that's being done in the Army, and so when we're looking at capabilities, we're not just looking at what's available commercially, but we are looking at efforts in other government organizations who have similar needs to the ones that we have.
And what about the iPad? A lot of buzz when that came out a couple months ago. Or is that part of the discussion, or is there too many security concerns around Apple products right now?
The iPad came out last month. I'm familiar with the iPad. It's one of the capabilities that's out there. And it'll be a part of the pool of capabilities that we'll look at as we try to meet the needs of our workforce.
I got to ask you, you said you're a techie. Do you have an iPad?
No.
All right. Well, neither do I, so it's okay. Anyways, all right, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the things you're working on. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Dr. Emma Garrison-Alexander, the Transportation Security Administration's Chief Information Officer.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation.
With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Dr. Emma Garrison-Alexander, the TSA Chief Information Officer. Now, before break, Emma, we talked a lot about your priorities. One of the priorities was, obviously, IT infrastructure. Now, you guys, TSA, had spent a lot of time, when you first stood up, installing something called the red, white, and blue packages at the airports across the country. What's the status of that? I think they've changed a number of years ago, but I think a lot of people remember them as these red, white, and blue packages. So talk about the status.
Yes, the red, white, and blue packages were being deployed some time ago. And the goal of the red, white, and blue package was to provide network deployment, was a network deployment program to provide secure high-speed connectivity and more advanced infrastructure for all of our airports around the country. And in 2006, we transitioned from the red, white, and blue package over to what we're calling the high-speed operational connectivity deployment. And really that was the follow-on to the work that we had started on the red, white, and blue packages. So that deployment was completed in 2009. So across the country, our airports have a much more robust infrastructure, and they are completely on the network and have great capabilities in order to be able to get their job done, as well as us here in the National Capital Region.
So there was like 400 airports. Is it still that many?
Yeah, 400-plus airports.
I remember when that was awarded and you guys started standing that up a number of years ago, it was an incredible undertaking. Talk a little bit about, you said you got it completed in 2009. Do you know, obviously a lot of it happened before you came to TSA, but do you know, was it on time, on budget? Was this sounds like a pretty good success story.
Yeah, I think it's a very good success story, but I don't think that it ended last year when we finished these particular deployments, because the needs at the airports continue to grow. The way the airports work together and interact has changed over time as well. When we initially performed these deployments, there was a lot of airport to headquarters communications going on. Now there's more interaction airport to airport. So our architecture has to be able to support that as well. One of my priorities, which was not on the initial list, has to do with improving the IT capability in the field. That's a priority for me because that's really where our operations take place. And my role as the CIO, I visited several of the airports already, and that was to give me a firsthand view and understanding of that environment and what their critical needs are. What I found was, as I visited the various airports, primarily Category F airports, those are the biggest airports, is the fact that they had a lot of common needs, but they also had some unique needs. And some of that has to do with just the way the airport is laid out. So an airport like LAX is very spread out, so deployment models for San Francisco, which has a very different layout, might not work so well with LAX. Going out and seeing that kind of thing was very helpful to me, to look at my deployment models and say, okay, I have a standard deployment model, but I need to tailor it based on the airport needs and based on the layout of the airports. So those were the kinds of things that were very helpful to me in terms of those visits and really getting a better understanding of what their needs are.
Let's talk a little bit about vendors and what they should know about working with TSA. Obviously, you mentioned a couple potential RFPs, so your phone, your email may be buzzing a lot. What should vendors know about working with your office?
Well, first of all, TSA was set up very, very fast. And so our partnership with industry has been there from the beginning. So partnering with industry is just a part of how we get business done here at TSA. TSA has a great acquisition process here, and we announce our procurement opportunities through Federal Biz Ops, and we're always looking for responsible sources through full and open competition. So our solicitations, they are made public, they're made available, and it's a very open process where vendors can have visibility into the types of services and capabilities that TSA is looking for. And we're always looking for innovation. We're looking for the expertise that the private sector can bring. And I'm always looking for new ideas about how we can move forward as an organization.
All right, something to keep in mind for the vendors to always check that FedBizOps and see where else they can add the value. Well, we're almost out of time, but before I let you go, I did want to talk to you a little bit about your background. Now, you came over to TSA just about a year ago from the NSA, the National Security Agency. Talk a little bit about that experience and how the two jobs are similar, how they're different, and tell us maybe where else you've worked in government or industry.
I had a great career at NSA. Often when people find out that I've come over to TSA, they ask me if I had retired, but I did not have enough years nor age in order to retire, so it was a transfer between the two organizations, so I continued my federal government service as a part of this changeover. NSA is also an organization, I would say, that's committed to really having a well-trained workforce, and as you look at my resume, you can see my educational background, and I've benefited from those opportunities. It's also a place where I would say that there was commitment to developing great leaders, and I think that my training, my development there has contributed to the leader I am today, and so I believe what TSA is receiving from me, they're greatly benefiting from the work that and the opportunities at NSA. I had the opportunity to go through their senior leadership development program, and that's a part of developing leaders, and I benefited from that program, and I was a part of the Defense Intelligence Senior Executive Service. They recruited me right out of college. NSA actually came to the University of Memphis. I attended undergraduate, and I have been working for NSA up until my time coming over to TSA ever since I left college. Now, even though I've only worked at NSA officially, I have served in the detail with one of the NSA partner agencies. I also had the opportunity to work across the intelligence community. I worked with quite a few Department of Defense organizations. I also had the opportunity to work with other federal agencies. I also worked with every branch of the military service, had the opportunity to work with a number of different foreign partners, and of course the private sector has been a big part of how we've gotten business done in my environment while I was at NSA as well.
But there's a lot of similarities between NSA and TSA beyond the last two letters of the acronym, right?
Yeah, because they're both really about the security of this nation and its partners, and so I feel like it's in some ways it's a continuation of what I did at NSA. I'm just doing it in a different venue. As I said before, I came to NSA right out of college. I started as an electronic engineer, and I had the opportunity to hold positions in their research and engineering organization, the technology and systems organization, signals and intelligence, and also in the information assurance organization. I think earlier you had asked me a question related to IT security, and I just wanted to relay a little bit of an experience that I, during the time I spent in the information assurance directorate, I had the opportunity to work for two NSA leaders who have been referred to as the fathers of information assurance. And there were a couple of things that I learned from them and has stayed in my mind on IT security, cybersecurity, or whatever term you want to use. And one of those things was you cannot waive security, you accept risk. And the other one was the opposite of security is convenience. And as you asked the earlier question, I said anytime a new technology is rolled out, the first question is what capability is being delivered, and the next question is what are the IT security concerns. So having a right IT security strategy is extremely important when you're rolling on new technology. But I just wanted to kind of note that I learned quite a bit in that particular organization and during my time there. I also had the opportunity to serve as a senior operations officer. And that's essentially where you have the opportunity to really operate on behalf of the director of NSA with regards to the time-sensitive mission, both for information assurance and for signals intelligence. And I finished my career there as a deputy in counterterrorism for SIGINT development, which really gave me an opportunity to be really focused on mission and work across all NSA disciplines as well as with a number of our different partners across the community.
All right, unfortunately, we're out of time. I think we could talk maybe even longer, but you know, that's just we'll have to have you on another time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Dr. Emma Garrison-Alexander, the Transportation Security Administration's Chief Information Officer. Emma, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.